Today's program is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit RT11.com.
This is Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. So before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. That's spelled L-U-V, that love. And hashtag using Primary Food or Heritage underscore Radio. And hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the second episode of my second season of Primary Food. This is so cool. And coming to you 5 minutes late because I was waiting for a guest and it looks like guest isn't coming. But that might be, I don't know, she might show up. She might have also gotten the wrong information from me because I tend to do that. Or maybe because I used to record on Fridays, she thought she should come in tomorrow, but today is Thursday and I'm just going to run with it. So again, this is Primary Food. And what exactly is Primary Food? I learned this really great concept in nutrition school. I attended IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I learned there that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths, like this awesome pizza I'm looking at people eat here at Roberta's, the Mexican food you're having today in honor of Cinco de Mayo, all of that food you eat, the stuff you put in your mouth and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that includes stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends you like. That's important. Cooking food, the action of cooking food, cooking the secondary food, is great primary food. Having a great job is great primary food. Creative expression, playing instruments, playing games, your exercise routine, this is all great primary food. It's all the stuff that nourishes you before you sit down and eat. And I am super glad that I learned this because it was the high quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and able to heal from my cancer and the treatment. So, again, we were to have a guest here to talk about eating and the joy of eating. I'm going to talk about it myself because I enjoy eating so much. I could do a whole show about it, just me. So I do enjoy prepping food. Cooking, that's a great activity for me. I cook my food, you know, like for the whole week. I save a ton of money that way. But, you know, let's talk about the enjoyment of actually eating the food. Now, there's a lot of conversation in my inner circles with women and men lately for some reason. In the past week or two, everybody's trying to lose weight. Everybody's feeling fat. Nobody's enjoying their food. And I think it's super important to enjoy the food that you eat. So I'm going to talk about some of the topics that came up in the past few weeks. I have friends who are had gone for a 1 month or 2 month, I guess you can call it cleanse, not having carbs, not having beer, things like that. And then they're surprised that they didn't lose 20, 30 pounds. And I'm thinking, I didn't know that that was the easiest way to lose weight. There's so much more that goes into weight loss. And I can talk a lot about that. In, I think it was the year 2000, I personally weighed just about 300 pounds. The last number, large number I saw on the scale in the year 2000 was 263 pounds. Now, that's about 16 years ago. And I've kept all of that off, and I didn't yo-yo and ever get back to 200, 300 pounds. And I feel like I kind of figured out some reasons why. Things that people who talk about losing weight don't touch on, don't talk about. And I'm going to talk about that today. So back in 2000, I was definitely a workaholic. And I'm sure that the stress I put on myself 15 years ago contributed to my developing cancer later in life. It seems like it makes sense. And I wasn't eating great food. I was just eating food, and lots of it, obviously. I remember sitting and thinking that I could eat a whole pint or maybe even two of ice cream in a day, which is so crazy to think because I just could never do that now. But back then, you know, I was a workaholic. I pretty much binged on work. And something I realized, like, the way you do one thing is kind of the way you do everything, right? So if you're binging on work, you're probably binging on food, you're probably binging on a lot of things. And going through this, like, lack, scarcity, fear mode thing, and then, like, stockpiling. And you can stockpile money, you can stockpile clothing out of fear, you can stockpile food in your body. That's definitely what I was doing. It was really a different time. So I remember feeling really unwell and eating terrible food, ordering in all the time, and just thinking, hey, you know, as long as I'm, you know, not starving myself, I must be healthy. But I was super malnourished, even though I was really heavy. And the concept of malnourished, you always think of like someone who's very thin, doesn't eat. But no, you can be malnourished and heavy. Yeah, absolutely. I remember feeling horrible. And at the time I was working in publishing, I was sitting at my desk and thinking back to a time when I said to myself, wow, if only I had a great job with a view, a window, maybe even a view of Central Park, and a door with a key and a title and business cards and a label on my door with my name and that title, I would be happy. So at that point in 2000, at this publishing company, I was senior designer. I had the view of Central Park even. I had the door with the key. I had it all. But I was so not happy. And I was thinking, God, you know, what's missing? What am I doing wrong here? What is going on? And I looked at my hands, and in my hands I had I think it had to be one of those like 20-something ounce sodas. And immediately I made this connection, like, could it be this? Could it be what I'm drinking every day? I was drinking so much soda in a day. And hey, you know, if you like soda, cool. I'm not going to say no to it, but I'm not going to say you shouldn't have it. I don't drink soda really these days. But back then, soda was my form of drinking water, which is kind of nuts to think about that. So I remember thinking that evening, like, you know, maybe I should get on a scale. I have a scale. Haven't gotten on it in a long time. It's under the bed somewhere. So I took it out, super dusty. I stood on top of it, and I couldn't believe what I saw. The scale said, hey, you know, it was one of those scales with a needle. It kind of hovered between 263 and 265. I was blown away. Like, how could I possibly be 265 pounds? I look at pictures now like, yeah, you were 265, baby. You sure were. But back then, I wasn't, you know, really thinking about it. I wasn't looking at myself or loving myself or caring myself enough to even look at a mirror and realize that this is what a size 24, size 26 looks like. And that was me. So shocked by that. And of course, because I was in shock, I didn't do anything about it right away. I kind of, you know, felt crappy about that. And what did I do? I just ate more and more. Because I wanted to bury that fact that I was 260-something pounds. And I guess I wanted to bury it with food. So I just kept eating. And another 2 months passed, maybe even three, until I got to this point where I said, no, I can't eat like this. I can't, like, eat all this food and hate food all the time. I remember saying, I hate food, it's food's fault. This is so absurd when I think about it now. So by that time, I was easily 300 pounds. And I decided to first just stop drinking soda and juices and treat myself better. And just that alone, in the first month from not drinking and not treating soda like it was the demon or evil or anything like that, because it wasn't. I was just drinking so much of it, treating it like something I was doing in excess. So I said, all right, let me just not drink this. It's something I can actually do, even though I crave it. In a month's time, I lost about 20 pounds just from eliminating that. And then I started to think, hey, that's cool. I started to move more. I started to order in less. I started to cook more food. I started to exercise. And eventually got down to my boxing weight when I started to really exercise, which was like on my frame, which is a pretty big frame, like 163 pounds on my frame is pretty thin. And my frame says actually too thin nowadays. I'm definitely more than that. But I'm comfortable. Now, it did take a lot of self-care, self-love, self-attention, and fighting temptation, I guess you can say, to lose that weight in that time. And it wasn't quick. It happened over, perhaps over the year or so, to lose that first 100 pounds. But it can be done. And you don't have to yo-yo and go back to that. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how to love your food, how to love great quality food, and how to love preparing it, and how to love yourself in it, so that the weight loss that you do is permanent. Because, well, I'll get into that. We'll take a little bit of a break first. I'll organize, and then we'll go into my rules and thoughts.
The following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com. The one and only Dave Arnold brings the noise to Heritage Radio Network every Tuesday on Cooking Issues.
Coming to you live on the Heritage Radio Network from Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn!
If the bomb was going to drop, and you only had 15 minutes, which is like, I can make a sandwich in 15 minutes. You'd be eating a sandwich.
I'd kiss my wife, make a sandwich.
If you believe that it's all about to be over, why eat healthy? I'm not a freaking Neanderthal. I like a tempered ice cream sandwich. But it's the only way to get around it if you're a party master, because you're going to wind up, like, your kitchen's going to fill with dishes.
And some people have commercial dishwashers in their house.
Who?
I've seen them.
Who?
I've seen them.
Who?
Really rich people.
For more mile-a-minute knowledge from Dave and the crew, listen to Cooking Issues, available on Heritage Radio Network, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Hey, I'm back, and I'm going to continue talking about how to lose weight permanently and be happy about it without dieting, like, for real. So people talk about how they lost weight or how to lose weight by dieting. Dieting. I gotta diet. I gotta go on a diet. And I think that's dangerous. I lost 100 pounds without dieting. I lost 100 pounds by just changing the way I viewed food and my choices. I knew that dieting was just going to be some kind of like torturous thing. And yeah, that doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for some people. But for those of you who have been yo-yo dieting, I bet dieting is not the way to go. It's about your mindset, the language, and how you regard food. So I'm going to talk about what I did, because I consider myself to be a success story. Having lost 100 pounds keeping pretty much most of it off, I'm a success story, and it's been 16 years. So people do ask me, you know, when I show them pictures of my before and they know me now, they're blown away because they can't believe that I was walking around in a size 26. I mean, I was very large woman. And now I'm okay. I feel great. I feel fine. So let's talk about language first. So when people talk about what they want to achieve when they lose weight, you know, they say, I just want to be skinnier. I just want to be skinny. Skinny is awesome. I want to be skinny. So what I realized about that particular phrase, I want to be skinny, skinny is not necessarily a sign of healthy. When I was in chemotherapy and cancer treatment, I saw a lot of skinny people, and that wasn't desirable, you know. So I think it's important to first start with, you know, if you're going to listen to me now about this being the, I guess you can call it, the weight loss pregame, starting with language, drop saying you want to be skinny and replace that with saying, I want to be healthy. Okay, you want to be healthy. Once you've planted that in your head, you're going to start making the subconscious, semi-conscious choices without you even realizing it, what it takes to get healthy versus skinny. I mean, skinny, you know, you end up torturing yourself and starving yourself, and sure, maybe you can get there, but that probably won't last, as it usually doesn't. So that's the first thing, language. Second part of language is no self-hate talk. I never once called myself fat when I was fat, and that was important because I had to make sure that I was taking care of myself and being nice to myself so that this change would be a lasting change. And no one taught me that. It just made sense. I'm a very sensitive person, so when someone calls me a name, it really affects me. I knew that if I called myself nice things like, hey, you're doing a good job, you know, good job. Even if it was a challenge, you know, that made all my body chemistry work better towards me. And it helped me fight depression by being nicer to myself. And, you know, depression and heaviness and all that goes hand in hand. And I feel like language is a key piece of that. Looking at other people all the time is definitely not the way to go. Everybody's different. In nutrition school, we learn about something called bioindividuality. Everybody's different. So to compare yourself to another person is kind of like unfair to you. It's like, you know, one completely different species of animal comparing themselves to another, saying, I wish I could do that. No, honor what you are, honor what you can do, and shine from that, and you'll do great. So there's that, okay. And then there's the quality of food. Oh, man, it's so great to be affiliated with Heritage Radio because super high-quality food coming through here all the time. And that's something I didn't respect myself enough to allow myself. I was just grabbing food that was cheap and on sale and a great bargain. And that kind of stuff, you know, and you know that's not the best quality food. And sometimes you spend a little bit more for that higher quality stuff. It's so much better for your body. So I look at food quality. Instead of wanting to eat or diet, you know, I just make sure that I ate really good food, like really good food, whether I'm being, you know, feeling particularly plant-based in a certain week or not. You know, just make sure that the quality of your food and how it's made is top-notch because you deserve it. Now, when you go into your nutrition or health regimen, it is super important. This was the most important part for me, that you go into it loving yourself. Meaning, you know, most of us start to diet because we hate ourselves. That's a guaranteed way to yo-yo because, you know, try doing anything hating it, hating any aspect of it. You know, you want to learn to drive and hate it, it's going to be a failure. You're going to suck. It's going to be miserable. Try to, you know, take some classes at a school and hating it, miserable. If you're doing anything and there's any element of you hating it, you will not succeed. Or you'll get to some goal and you'll be so burnt out and miserable about it that you're going to revert to something that, you know, was happier. And if happier meant sitting on the sofa eating a whole box of whatever, you're going to end up reverting to that. So it was super important for me to grasp for myself that, okay, if I'm going to be changing the way my eating lifestyle is, I'm doing it because I love myself and I want to live long and undo what I've been doing to myself. And that's another part, self-accountability. Knowing that, hey, you're fully responsible for what you've created of your body. And I'm talking about even through my cancer treatment, I was fully responsible. Because once I owned that responsibility, I knew that I could own finding the solutions or even creating them for myself. And that is super empowering. So if you are entering a weight loss regime, do it because you love yourself and because you want to take control. And that's how you'll succeed. So then, of course, there is the aspect of movement. One of my favorite parts of primary food is movement. And in my head, I'm like, I just want to run 5 miles a day. But you know what? My knees, my knees and my back don't really love that. So I end up not doing it. And the times I do the long run, because it's so sporadic, I end up hurting myself more than I help myself. So what I've done with my jogs and my runs is I've broken them up to little mini jogs, mini snack jobs, jogs, I've been calling them, like little 5 minute in the morning, 5 minute at lunch, and 5 minute around dinner time, just jogs around the neighborhood. Now, this is really great for keeping a good metabolism throughout the day and feeling like, yeah, I'm really able to do this. Like, there's really no excuse. You can't jog around your neighborhood or a couple of streets to one song or no song, just, you know, a short goal. That is really, really, really great for your body. And you don't have to feel like you have to go to a gym. I mean, gyms are great too. If you manage to get in there and do your routine, awesome. If that's intimidating to you, fine. So do some snack jogging. I know it sounds so nutty. It's like snack jogging. But hey, I love food, so I want to call it snacks because it's fun for me. So like yesterday, I had posted on Facebook about it just to share. Like, I have converted my desire to do these long jogs into these broken up snack jogs. And the response was great. I inspired a bunch of people to start doing little snack jogs. And hey, you know, that goes a long way. And you realize, like, hey, maybe I could just, like, jog to the store. It doesn't look ridiculous. People think, like, I look ridiculous jogging. No, that's so silly. Like, who cares about that? You will not look ridiculous going towards your goals. That's what's most important. So do some snack jogging. And, yeah, of course, it makes sense that if you eat a ton more calories than you know, expend, then, yeah, you store it on your body. So, you know, look at that, too. Overeating is definitely something that I'm familiar with. I did it almost, I would say if I was getting paid for it, I'd say I was doing it professionally, but no, I just did it for fun. But that's a lie. I was overeating because I was not happy. And I had many emotional holes in me that I was filling with food. I had also experienced as a young woman trauma and sexual trauma. And I overate to create, I guess you can call it like a fat moat, you know, a coating around me to protect me from other people, from men, from just the outside world. And that was the bizarre psychology behind my personal behavior. Now, I'd love for you to sit down and think, what is the psychology behind your food behavior? Why do you do this? Why do you not eat? Why do you binge? What are the reasons? And then think about how actually healthy that is or isn't. And then pick a goal. Pick a goal that's fair. Because it's really also not realistic to be like, I want to be, you know, X pounds in 10 days. That's actually quite a heavy load, quite a demand for your body. And it's not fair for you to run your body down like that, only for it to then struggle once it gets back to where it was. So I'm just going to throw out there, just to be more gentle to yourself when you're going through your, quote, weight loss or cleansing or purging routine. Because it shouldn't, I feel, your health regimen shouldn't be a, okay, I'm doing this for 5 days. Your health regimen should be your everyday, what you do. And it's what you do most of the time that truly counts. You know, like I have friends who have gone vegan, plant-based, and they absolutely freak out when some dairy touched something on their plate and they're thinking they're like unhealthy or something had gone wrong. And I think that's a sign. That's a sign that you're doing it for maybe an unhealthy or unbalanced reason. So look into that, and because it's really what you do most of the time. Most of the time that matters for your body. Going, you know, cold turkey, I guess if you can handle that and you don't go back to the old ways, great. But most people struggle with that. So I say do it gently. Be really nice to yourself. And on weight loss, you know, I was also really in denial, I guess, for many, many years of how heavy I was being and getting, to the point that I just, like I said earlier at the top of this show, didn't even understand or believe I could possibly weigh 265 pounds in that moment. Blew my mind. But I think it's important to own wherever you are, whatever your body is, like love it where it is right now and own it. You want to lose weight? Great. But you have to own it first, because I guess simply put, you have to own something before you lose it, right? So if I didn't understand what it was I needed to shed and feel lighter about, then I wouldn't know I had to take the steps to do that. So that's important too. And, you know, if you think about our future too, I can actually speak now from, I guess the time machine, because the old heavier me couldn't have foreseen that I would be going through this cancer treatment some years later. And I know there's a connection. I could feel it. So I can look back and say, okay, what was I doing wrong? I was eating a lot of processed foods. Yeah. I was eating a lot of processed foods. I was microwaving a ton of stuff in plastic too. Yeah, okay, maybe not the best idea. Tons of sugar. Tons and tons and tons of sugar. Now, some of you who know my story, the irony of my cancer diagnosis was that the years preceding my diagnosis, I was actually vegetarian and vegan. And you got to wonder, like, why? What? You can't have cancer when you're, quote, that healthy. But, you know, I was doing it wrong. I realize, I look back now, I didn't have my emotions right. I was definitely constantly stressed and heartbroken all the time. That very much fed my illness. And even though I was vegan, I was pretty much fruitarian. I was eating fruit and drinking juices and smoothies more rarely than juices. And I was juicing mainly fruits. Most of my juices, I would say, were either red, orangey, or white, which I see now when I prepare juices, it's like a sign of like lots of like sugary fruit stuff and not enough green stuff. So now my juices are a lot more green, a lot less white, a lot less red. Now, with the type of cancer that I was diagnosed with, a triple positive cancer, sugar and even fructose, actually fructose feeds my type of cancer. So it's really no surprise that in the years that I was vegan and vegetarian, it actually fueled the growth of my aggressive cancer. The irony of that. It blows my mind. Nobody talks about this. You know, you just think, you know, greens and veggies and all that stuff. But there are all these other aspects you have to think about. You know, everybody's bio-individuality is important. Your emotional place and state of mind is super important if you want to succeed at anything. So to recap, think about your language, how you talk to yourself, how you regard yourself when you look in the mirror, super, super important. Think about that. Think about the quality of your food. Think about your physical activity. That's great, you know, the primary food stuff. And I'm going to say you also don't have to overdo the exercise like some people, like I actually definitely did a stint in the going to the gym obsessively thing where I was going every day for perhaps 2 hours. But I also was unemployed at the time and I was able to do that and I had the energy to do it. But once I was employed again, it was like I couldn't maintain that. So, of course, that weight came back because, you know, I was super, super svelte, I guess you can say, for me. And then I had to realize, like, oh, yeah, you know, I guess I have to do things that will become my normal. And, hey, if 2 hours at the gym every day could be my normal, that's cool. But that's not realistic. And actually, I don't want to do that. There's so many other things in my life that I want to do. Like, I do want to take breaks. I do want to sit and watch Netflix. I do want to just, like, clean and spend, like, 2 hours doing that. All this great primary food. I do want to hang out with friends and have a beer and just chill and laugh. And laughter is super important. Super important for keeping your spirits up. And when your spirits are up, I know all about this from cancer treatment, keeping your spirits up keeps all your hormones in the right place. So important. So let's go and we'll take a second break. We're going to have some more thoughts on how to enjoy food. Okay, I'm back, and I'm going to talk about another piece of the pie. Oh, pie. I see, I could have a piece of pie if I wanted. All right, so food allergies, super important. For a long, long time, I didn't acknowledge my food allergies. And I have a lot of food allergies, but I would just keep eating and pushing through the discomfort, the upset stomach, the itchy skin, the inability to go to sleep at night. I didn't even, like, recognize, and no one had talked to me about, hey, you don't feel right, or you're depressed or extra moody. Like, do you have any food allergies? Hugely important. So I'm going to throw this out there in case somebody is constantly experiencing itchiness, rashes, feels funny when you eat a certain food, you know, like, or has trouble sleeping at night. So I'll share my stories, and maybe it'll spark something in whoever's listening. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when you realize what your body actually likes versus what's, you know, thrown in front of you. So I do have a gluten sensitivity. I wouldn't say total intolerance like someone who is celiac, but definitely when I eat gluten in the form of pasta, breads, in any form, I feel like my system goes into this heated overdrive. And I always felt that my entire life. I just thought nothing of it, or I ignored it. And that's what's important. You have to listen to these signals your body gives you. So my body, when I eat a little too much of, you know, that awesome bread, I go into the overdrive. Typically by the end of the day, I'm itching on my arms or my back or my feet, or my hands and my palms in the weirdest places. And I started to make the connection because I started to do some elimination research, and that's not elimination in the form of pee and poo and stuff, but elimination meaning I'm going to remove this piece of food or this type of food from what I eat in the next 2 weeks and see if I do or don't experience this response. So for a couple of weeks, I was like, I'm completely gluten-free, just as an experiment to see. And I had no itching. It was amazing. I also get itching from super processed foods, so whatever is in there, probably gluten as well and all sorts of chemicals and stuff. I get itchy, super itchy, and miserable. So with the gluten, you know, I realized, like, hey, but what do you do if you love bread? Like, I love bread, but I am super sensitive to gluten. What do you do? That's when I make the executive Cynthia decision to have only the best quality. And that's where I like to say, you know, enjoy your food. Don't just eat stuff just because it's like right there. Make sure you're enjoying it. Make sure you're choosing it and you're like enjoying the quality of the food. Because like really nothing sucks more than like eating something and you know it was like terrible quality and it's like sitting in you. It's like horrible. You feel terrible. So if I'm going to eat a nice hot steamy piece of French bread baguette gluten, yeah, I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to balance a little bit of itch with the sexiness of what I just ate. And no, I'm not going to eat this cold, stale clunk of bread that's sitting there because I know it's not worth it. And I think that's key, doing things for yourself because you know it's worth it or not. I'm also highly allergic to interesting vegetables and stuff that I love. Like, actually have an allergy to avocado. I love it, though. So I just limit, you know, how much I have. My reaction to avocado is interesting. Like, I look at it and I'm just like, my mind is drooling. But the second it hits my tongue, I get this kind of like rashy, prickly feeling on the roof of my mouth and on my tongue. A similar feeling that I used to get when I would eat raw lobster or raw shrimp especially. And that's no good. That's like, you know, in the family of allergies to the point of like anaphylactic shock and stuff like that. That's definitely a sign you have to listen to. Now, in the past, I didn't listen to it. I felt it, but I just kept eating. And then I kept bloating and storing water. And I'm going to guess it was my body just reacting to all of the food allergies. So that's not good. And that kept me up at night. It was terrible. So I have an allergy to sugar also. We did an ice cream taste test last episode, but I knew my limits. I knew if I would have even more, I would have a headache. And a lot of folks I have coached have sugar headaches, but never make the connection. And they don't talk about it. And they realize like, well, if I talk about it, I'm going to have to stop eating it. Well, duh. Maybe you have to cut back on that because who wants to suffer? I have a couple of friends and clients who were really afraid to cut things out, like the excess breads and the sugars and things like that. They were really afraid. And I said, listen, you know, just check your values. Like, what's worth more to you, being healthy and comfortable or eating all of this stuff in front of you because you're afraid you're not going to have it again? Trust me, you'll have it again. Just, you know, I want you to feel healthy and feel better and be happier. Because I personally believe my stance on world peace is when individuals have found happiness within themselves. And that's how the world operates, with happy individuals. That's how we achieve world peace. Not a political world peace, like a real world peace, when we all have inner peace and happiness. So as far as allergy goes also, eggplant, I get the itchiness. Apples, I definitely get the itchiness from the skin. And from what I understand, that tends to be from the pesticides. So that's why I'm going to throw out there, choose organic when you can. Organic and local rocks. You know, you can't beat that. It's good karma. It's not just good karma. It's great karma to support local food producers and eat food that isn't sprayed with pesticides, because that stuff's scary and super dangerous, to the point that I saw someone who was handling pesticides and they were in a complete hazmat outfit. And I said, oh, you're spraying that stuff on the food that we eat and you're in a hazmat outfit. Another experience I had with someone in a hazmat outfit was last year when I was going through adriamycin chemo. The nurse was in some sort of hazmat outfit, but I wasn't, and she was pumping the stuff right into my vein. I said, this is messed up. So I'm going to leave with that. You know, definitely eat cleanly, eat whole as possible. Organic, local is great. Be really nice and gentle to yourself.
hate language not allowed. Think about why you're eating what you're eating. Is what you're eating filling a hole or filling a void? You know, journal about it. And hey, if any of this, you know, struck a chord in you and you want to reach out to me more, because I've got to end this episode, definitely reach out to me. And I'll give you that info once again, because I would love to help you out. So you can reach out to me, get my attention again on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, spelled L-U-V, or hashtag primary food, heritage underscore radio, or hashtag RevLove. So enjoy what you're going to eat today. Enjoy what you eat from now on. Don't be hating on yourself. Don't hate on the food. Love yourself. You're so worth it. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at heritage underscore radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.